Chapter 12. The sounds of clanking. I open my eyes. I'm lying on the side of the road, looking up into the open trailer. The moon is full, so I can clearly make out a woman, reconstructing the armoire to its original specifications, according to instructions, and packing it back up. Perfect. The woman turns and looks down, noticing my eyes open. "Well, look at you, naked and covered in your own crap, just like the first time I met you."
"Who are you?"
"I'm your mother."
"Ah, my mother. Sweet as saccharin, just like I imagined."
I pull myself up to a sitting position, though my head screams for me to lay back down.
You
look like your father."
"You say that like it's not a compliment."
"It's not." She returns to the packaging, putting the last of the tape around it, inspecting it. "Hey, Dad is a handsome man." I pull my coveralls back on and stand up defiant and fall to my knees. She snickers. "Oh, okay, sometimes. He had cute teeth when he smiled, I'll grant you that. And nice blue eyes. Listen, I'm in a little bit of a hurry here." She quickly looks at her watch. 2:20, time to wrap things up." Leaping from the back down to the pavement, she locks the trailer doors, connects some wires, walks around to the front, climbs into the cab, and does God knows what. When she returns, she grabs my arm and lifts me back to my feet. I almost pass out again.
"Whoa,
you can faint in the ditch. Let's go." And she pushes me toward a berm on the side of the road, maybe 50 yards away, into some tall grass, shoving me down. I swat her hand away. "Gee, you're a regular Florence Nightingale." "How do you know who Florence Nightingale is?"
"I read. I had a lot of books around growing up. You know, instead of a mother."
"Oh, for crying out loud. Stop." She looks down at her watch, pushes my head down further into the grass. "Get down. Not a peep." In that next moment, my eyes focus on her in the dark for the first time. This gray-haired, scrawny, leather-skinned woman has no connection to me. None at all, except, oh my, her nose. We have the same nose. I've always wondered about that, where we got our good-looking noses. It's a really nice nose, though I'm positive it's the only nice thing about her. Suddenly, the tractor-trailer roars back to life. Its engines rev, floodlights swivel in all directions, sirens blare, and it ejects a cloud around itself. I'm guessing tear gas.
"Stand clear of the vehicle. Stand clear of the vehicle,"
it shouts over and over. After a minute or so of this, the sirens and the floodlights stop, and it silently moves on its way.
"How?"
She smiles. "EMPs. It's the only thing that'll shut down all their systems at once without damaging them. After the electromagnetic pulse, which its sensors categorize as a weather event like a bolt of lightning, the trailer goes through a startup sequence, and it takes 5:43 to get back online. Just enough time to drag you out, clean up your god-awful mess, get everything perfect, and get the hell out of there. Then it goes through a 1:12 inspection for damage, inventory, stowaways, etc. Then back to the road."
"You generated an EMP?"
She lifts a box, about the size of a shoebox, and points to 3 red switches on the side. "Yep, EMP pulse generator. Made it myself."
"Who are you?"
"I'm your mother, Jane. You're into rockets, from what Harlan said, and I'm into other stuff."
"Oh, look at us. We have so much in common. Is this where we hug?"
"No."
"Good. Now, really, you made an EMP pulse generator."
"Ah, I see. Not the vision of the abandoning mother you were expecting, am I? You were expecting some drug-addled drifter or a prostitute or some other lowlife, weren't you? Well, how do you think someone like that gets out of Phil City 1?
"I don't know.
They don't. Damn, woman, you're only the 5th or 6th one to ever leave, as far as I know, and you had a lot of help. I did it on my own."
"But why?"
"No. I may have no right to call myself your mother, but you have no right to ask me that. I'll leave it at this. I'm very good at what I do. I don't always like what that means. But I am what I am. No regrets. Now, I promised Harlan I'd get you to L.A. on time, and air travels for zillionaires only, so let's get to the car. We crawl out of the ditch, this Jane person and I, walking through a field of soybeans onto the far side to another ditch. A red thing greets us. What's this? A car. I'm not sure about that. Any car this resembles has been crushed into a stack of at least 50 in Phil City One's junkyard and is rusting away to dust. This one looks like it belongs there, too. It actually has a driver's seat. You have to drive? Manually? I like to drive. It's a 2038 Honda, one of the best engines ever developed. It's still legal to drive yourself out here in the mainland. In most places, anyway. Get in. I lean down to open the door, notice a movement, and jerk back. There's someone in there. Relax, it's Voom Voom. There he is, in the back seat, sucking on a lollipop, content, rubbing his eyes. My half-brother. You left him out here in a field? Alone? He's six? What kind of mother are you? She throws open the door and plops into the strange cockpit. He's seven, and I left the windows open. Jeez. See? That attitude? That's why I should never have had kids. We both shout, "Hey!" Voom Voom and I at precisely the same moment. And that makes him smile. He leans forward and offers me his lollipop. Voom Voom. No, thank you. So, let me guess. Yes, his name is Voom Voom because it's his favorite thing to say. He's perfectly normal otherwise. Aren't you, Voom Voom? Voom Voom. I jerk my head around to him. Wait, give me that lollipop. Jane slams her hand on the steering device in front of her. Let me guess, you have a problem with me giving him lollipops, too. No. Voom Voom offers it to me again, and I hold it close to my nose and breathe in deep. Strawberries? She shrugs. Well, artificial imitation strawberry flavoring, but yes, so? Just strawberries. Nothing else. No methane, no rotting, nothing. I run from the car to the edge of the soybean field and fill my lungs with the first truly fresh air I have ever inhaled. It's clean. I twirl around, hands in the air, breathing deeply in and out, and catch the scent of something else. A clump of purple weeds. What is that? Lavender, go ahead, stick your face in. I kneel reverently and touch the purple stalks to my nose. Oh my God, the aroma fills me completely. Sweet, deep, intoxicating. I begin to weep. I've discovered a new world already, just 2 hours outside of Phil City One. The world of clean air and sweet, unadulterated smells. And if I look up, I imagine even the sky is clearer. And that if I squint up to the north and west a little, I can see Mars. Oh, the wonders of this world. Oh, except for my mother. She's not so wonderful. Get back in, Pepper. Change those stinking clothes. We've got work to do. My name is Paper. Not for long. Minutes later, a card pops out of Jane's homemade fake identification creating machine. That's me? That's the new you. Robin Smith. Photo, DNA code, address, interstate transport permissions, everything. And here's the kicker. Our DNA matches. There's no way you can fake that. So when they check, take a swab, and believe me, they do, you really are my daughter. It's legit. It's perfect. Perfect. You and me? You gonna keep doing that? The passive-aggressive thing? All the way to Los Angeles? Yes, the entire way. Oh, joy. I look down at the name again. Smith. Couldn't think of anything better. Smith, it's the best name to use. Too many connections for them to check, too many false positives. She guns the engine and shoots out of the ditch onto the highway, leaving a trail of dirt in our wake. It's strange to see her in control of the vehicle, this ancient car without giving it audible instructions, turning the steering device and stepping on levers near her feet. It looks like a lot of unnecessary effort, and she can't move from her spot or shift her focus from the road or turn around to talk to me or her son in the back seat. Why not let the car do the work? Manual driving is stupid. Pepper, let me see the thing, the scarab. My name is Paper. Well, now it's Robin, and no. Suit yourself. We drive in silence for a while, listening to the leaves rush out of our way as we hurtle down I-80, seeing nothing in the dark but the few yards of highway ahead of us. I still can hardly believe it. This is the start of a journey that might, no, will, take me 140 million miles to Mars. I feel another involuntary jolt of excitement in my gut, a feeling of certainty that fate has placed me in the middle of something big and that I have a job to do, a place to be, and there's a reason it has to be me, and nothing is going to stop me. I look over at the woman driving the car and have a pang of something. Thank you for doing this, Jean. But you're still not... Your mother? Sorry to rupture the fragile little denial you've got going there, but biologically, you're 100% wrong. I'm your mother. Emotionally, sure, whatever helps you sleep at night. And you're welcome. Then she cackles and peers into the mirror above her head and shouts, "Who's your mother?" From the 7-year-old boy in the back seat comes the answer, "Voom, voom." I look down at the ID card one last time before tossing it into my satchel and think, well, Robin Smith, is there any possibility this plan actually works? Phil City One keeps shoddy records. That just isn't their thing. They never even established a DNA database like the government on the mainland. They prefer simple walls and guns and constant monitoring. So Wasteway Management will see me on TV around the clock for months and never know the truth. As long as the folks back home cover my work and put my identical triplet scissors in my place when needed and fake the necessary documents with Bradline and the other willing fillers, I should disappear for a while, be back in 18 months, then slip back into Phil City One with no one the wiser. Hopefully. It's not a foolproof plan, not even marginally. I wouldn't bet on it, but it's our plan. It's the best we have. I shift in my seat, getting comfortable, and reach back for the seatbelt. There is none.